going up north, up north. Thank God we're going north.
I'm more at ease up in those trees.
Up north, up north. I'll sure be glad if Susie's dad decides that, hey, I ain't so bad up north. Up north.
Okay. I want to take you up north, as a matter of fact, with a couple of guys. Lee Becker with me in the studio today. He's co-writer and actor who plays the part of Dwayne in the musical comedy Guys and Does. It's presented by the American Folklore Theater of Door County, and it's playing currently in Madison. Jeff Herbst with us by phone today, and Jeff is the American Folklore Theater's artistic director and the director of Guys and Does. So it's great to have them with us today, and I hope that you'll join in with the conversation. Maybe you've been to see Guys and Does. Maybe you've been to other productions of the American Folklore Theater. You might have some questions or comments about that. Maybe about the people who act in those productions as well. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. And Lee Becker with me in the studio. Lee, great to have you back.
Thank you
so much for coming by. Appreciate it.
We're really, really pleased to be here.
And Jeff Herbst with us by phone. Jeff, hi. Thanks for taking time.
Oh, no problem, Larry. Nice to be back on your program again.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And this is Guys and Does. You've done a lot of guys. Guys on Ice.
Nope. Yeah, this is number two.
Guys on Does now.
Yep.
Guys and Does, not Guys on Does. Guys and Does.
Yeah.
Just gonna let that stay there.
Yeah, let that stay there. Well, first, for those who just aren't familiar with it, the American Folklore Theater. Give us the background on that.
Jeff, you want to take that?
Well, American Folklore Theater has now just finished its 20th year, so we had a big 20th anniversary celebration last year. We've been in Door County, housed in the Peninsula State Park during our summer season, and then we move indoors in the past to town halls and most recently into the Door Community Auditorium where we play through fall. And we have been around the state, and now we're in Madison with Guys and Does. So we've had a nice long run so far, and we hope to keep it going.
Yeah, for sure. And this is your first time kind of out of Door County, isn't it, Lee?
Well, we have taken a show down to Green Bay. We took Guys and Does there, actually. In fact, it's first when we were back here down here last fall talking about the run-up in Ephraim. It was such a success that we brought it for a couple of weeks down to Green Bay. But American Folklore Theater hasn't produced anything in the southern part of the state. People have seen Guys on Ice and Muskie Love and some of the other shows we've originated. But in every case, those were the productions of other companies who were doing the producing of it, even though frequently people saw American Folklore Theater actors that they had seen in the same roles up in Door County performing down here. This is the first one that American Folklore Theater's administrative apparatus is underwriting or not fully underwriting, but basically producing and making happen. So this is
in other words, we're taking the big financial risk this time, Larry.
That's
right. Yeah, I wondered about that. How did it come about, Jeff?
Well, we had for a long time really wanted to try and make our own splash in Madison. As Lee just said, really the productions of Guys on Ice that most people are familiar with, all of them that have played in Madison, have really been AFT productions that have been produced by other producing organizations just because they had the apparatus in place. And that's the thing we've been trying to figure out as we go along here is for a company of our size that is used to operating really on kind of a shoestring budget for what we do, how could we possibly make it happen remotely? And that takes a whole kind of engine and a personnel and, money.
I mean,
is part of it. And to get all that together, it takes a while to just make sure that you're making the right decision because the last thing you want to do is get yourself in a financial hock outside of your own turf.
Yeah.
And we felt like we had a good solid base for going into Madison with this show, and it's proved to be true. The show is, I'm proud to report, in the black already for us. So we're really pleased with that. So yeah, you know, it's nice to be able to jump in and feel like we made a really good first effort, because it whets our appetite.
And I expect you have to do some partnering in situations like this, even if it's your own production.
Absolutely. And I know that Holly Feldman, who is our marketing director, has had nothing but high praise for all of the people in Madison, including the Madison Community Foundation, who have been extraordinarily wonderful. And I know there's going to be some kind of a nice party for everybody on Saturday, and I hope that people will be able to go and join and celebrate the success that everybody's had together in Madison on this show.
Talking with Lee Becker, co-writer and actor who plays the part of Duane in the musical comedy Guys and Does, and Jeff Herbst, who is the American Folklore Theater's artistic director and the director of Guys and Does. You seen it yet? If you have, I hope you'll call in with a comment. If you haven't, you have a question about that show or other shows, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. Give us a call or shoot us an email. Well, let's tell us a little bit about the story of Guys and Does. Lee, do you want to do that?
Sure. Well, the story starts, we meet our hero, really the sort of central character of the show around which everything revolves, is our Nakusa mill worker, Fritz Dingleheimer, who's a master hunter. He's been hunting all his life. Everyone in the neighborhood calls him the Wizard of Whitetails, and he's burned out on his job, and his relationship with his wife has gotten very routine, very mundane. You know, he's just sort of plodding along. Well, he has to go hunting this time around, his usual sort of escape and rejuvenation trip. He's saddled with Duane Puddles, this fellow who's dating his daughter. His daughter has sort of hoped the two men would bond on this trip. Duane is not your typical Nakusa mill worker. He works in the office, but he doesn't hunt. He lives with his mom. He watches Oprah with her. He knits with her.
He knits, yes.
Yeah. He's just not your typical sort of, you know, man's man from the middle of the state. But he really wants to impress his would-be father-in-law. He's hoping on this trip to ask Fritz for his daughter's hand. So here these two guys go off up into the North Woods, a very sort of odd couple situation. Fritz is very tolerant and really does his best to endure all the attempts to be touchy-feely and emotionally sharing that Duane tries to engage him in. Duane does not really is not very excited about hunting. He was scarred as a child by the film Bambi, as many were. and so there they are up there. Fritz is trying to tell him about how to hunt and what hunting's about. And then another character enters the show, a swaggering Texas big game hunter by the name of Joe Jimmy Ray Bob Johnson III, whose main goal in life is to impress his father by killing one of everything that walks, crawls, flies, swims on the earth. So he sort of shows up and kind of represents what a less ethical, less, a hunter who you wouldn't really want to model. And so then those three characters sort of mix it up a little bit. And then when you least expect it, here comes our talking deer from the mists of time, Stagheart of the Golden Horn, an ancient, wise deer who was taught to speak English by a wizard named Merlin, who everybody's heard about. And so he gets to weigh in a little bit on what hunting is about, too, from the standpoint of nature. And he has his own mission. He's looking for this white doe that lives in the woods up there, and he's looking to do what all bucks are looking to do at that time of year. We really tried to go to the source. We interviewed several hunters, not being hunters ourselves. We really tried to pack the show with a lot of real authentic deer hunting lore and detail. Things in the show came straight from my uncle's mouths, which is really a pleasure. It was really a pleasure to interview them and then put things into the show and have them come and see it and give it the seal of approval of actual hunters.
They loved it.
They did. They really did.
Ann in Madison up here. Let's go to Ann. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. I had just mentioned that we had the opportunity to go see the play on Friday night, and it is hilarious. I could not stop laughing. And we've actually been able to, you know, we spend time in the summer up in Door County, and so we've seen a few of the plays up there, too. But we're thrilled that you were able to come to Madison.
Oh, Wow.
Yeah, thank you, Ann.
Yeah, we're thrilled to be there. And it's, you know, it's people like... Now, Ann, what shows do you recall? What shows you saw up in Door County?
We have seen Muskie Love and uh-huh. Guys on Ice uh-huh. and Loose Lips Sink Ship.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So you've seen kind of a cross-section of our shows.
We have. And the Fritz Dinglehimer... That man is hilarious. Uh-huh. I just don't know how his character just, you know, you just can't stop laughing. Mm.
Uh-huh. Well, that's my good friend Bo Johnson, who's took over the role from co-creator of the show, Doc Heidi, who played Fritz last year while he was on sabbatical, and Doc had to go back and teach in the Bay Area this fall. So my good friend Bo, who's an actor of many decades in Wisconsin, mostly the Milwaukee area, this is his first time with American Folklore Theater, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be on stage with him. He's been a longtime friend.
Well, you all do a fantastic job.
Thank you so much, Ann.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We have some more callers coming up on line, and we'll get to those callers as we visit with Lee Becker and Jeff Herbst from the American Folklore Theater as we talk with them about all of their plays, but zeroing in today a bit about Guys and Does. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Lee Becker and Jeff Herbst. Jeff is American Folklore Theater's Artistic Director and Director of Guys and Does. It's the latest production from the AFT, playing now in Madison. And great to have him with us. And also Lee Becker, who co-wrote the comedy and also plays the part of Dwayne in Guys and Does, and again, presented by the American Folklore Theater of Door County. So talking about that and other AFT productions, and certainly inviting your questions and comments as we move along today. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And since we have Carrie in South Door County has been waiting a long time, so let's just put Carrie on. Hi, Carrie. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, or afternoon, actually.
Good afternoon.
I'm just calling to say that I am a huge Guys and Does fan. I have seen it 3 times, both in Door County and in Green Bay. And at the Green Bay performance, I was with 6 of my girlfriends in front row seats, and one of them almost fell out of the chair. I mean... It's just wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Did you see the show last year twice in Door County? Did you say?
Yes.
And did you see it the first year and the second year, or just the first year? Or?
I saw it the first year and the second year. The last time I saw it at the auditorium with relatives from the UP that we made come down. We had 15 of us.
Oh. Well,
and it was great.
I'm sort of curious to ask you a question. You saw the show then in Ephraim Village Hall the first time.
I did.
Which is where we first performed it, and that's where we've done a lot of performing in Door County. And then last year we switched to the Door Community Auditorium. Do you have any anecdotal comments about those two experiences compared to one another?
Well, the Ephraim Village Hall, of course, is cozier.
Uh-huh.
But I think that you did a really good job of bringing the auditorium in and uh-huh. making it feel smaller.
Uh-huh.
And I was pretty lucky. We had pretty close seats, so maybe I'd feel differently if I was sitting further back. But uh-huh. I thought it was just as enjoyable at the auditorium.
Oh,
but I really liked it at the town. I love the town hall things, too.
Yeah. Well, the obvious difference for us is that we can move into the auditorium and we don't have to build a theater because it's already there. Whereas when we move into the town halls, you know, we have to put everything up from scratch, including all the risers and seating.
It is really tight seating in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very tight. That's one of the reasons why we felt like, boy, we've got to make a move here for the comfort of our patrons.
Well,
we don't care about comfort in the middle.
As long as you're laughing, it's okay, right?
Carrie, thank you so much for joining us. And she raises a couple of points here that I think bear talking a little bit more about, and that is, one is, all right, this is not necessarily a show just for guys.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I was gratified that Anne, our first caller, was a gal, and now Carrie talked about coming with a bunch of her girlfriends. We really didn't want to write a show that was just going to appeal specifically to hunters. So, you know, we really wanted to open it up. And much in the same way that Guys on Ice became very popular with women, in fact, when we would do the show sort of during hunting season and the guys would be off hunting, a bunch of, you know, hunting widows would all come together to see Guys on Ice. And I think in the same way, this show handles some of the same themes where we watch these two guys go off and talk about and sort of process their relationships with the women in their lives. And, you know, we called the show Guys and Does. We wanted it to be about guys and the relationships with the quote-unquote does in their life. And I think we did a pretty good job of making the show warm enough and human enough that I think it, you know, it takes care of itself in that regard.
And obviously funny enough.
If people are falling out of their chairs, yeah, we're not liable for that, we should mention.
No, that's right.
Oh, well, and the other point that we sort of had a little discussion about, but bears talking about a little more, the venues. You know, Jeff, there are great venues all across Wisconsin, I think, for this production.
Yeah. And that is actually part of our plan, Larry. We just hired a new company/tour manager, so we're serious about this. And it looks like we are going to get some stuff lined up already for November after we close our fall season and then into December. And then we're hoping for even more bookings in the spring of 2012. So we're that far ahead. And you're right. The model that we're sort of using, and thank you to them for that, is the Milwaukee Rep, who took Guys on Ice and The Bachelors out on tour around the state. And a lot of those same venues are very interested, obviously, in booking in Guys and Does, too, from the same creative, personnel, essentially. So I think it bodes well, and I think you're right. There are great places. There are places in Whitewater. The guys actually did Oconomowoc a few weeks ago, and I think had a great time there. Mm-hmm. We're going to Beaver Dam as soon as we close in Madison. So we'll be hitting that as a venue. I think we're just getting started. And I think you're absolutely right, Larry, that there's no reason that, if they can't come to you, go to them.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we were saying, just the fantastic venues that are out there, the opera houses and other theaters that have been either remodeled or built new, they're just some great venues.
Yeah, and I know Lee's been on many of these tours, all the Guys on Ice tours around the state, and there are some, you know, real gem venues out there. And, you know, towns in Wisconsin, all over America, of course, but in Wisconsin, you know, particularly, there's a real identity with that tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of those houses, people saw fall into disrepair, and there was a lot of question about whether they should be raised in some of these towns. And instead, people got behind it, community leaders and businesses, and they poured their money into it, and they decided to renovate these performance venues. And I think it's just it's important for all of us in the state to have a stake in making sure that all of that stays alive. Yeah. You know, and the whole idea of Wisconsin, which I know you guys promote with your with the name of your network. I think it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Mike in Mount Horeb has a comment or question. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Welcome.
Well, hello, Mount Horebite.
Yeah.
And what's on your mind, Mike?
Well, I've known these guys for 30-some years.
I know who this is.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, Mike.
And Jeff.
Wait a minute. What's your last name, Mike?
Let's see. I think it's pronounced Woleen.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Hi, Mike. How are you?
How you doing, Jeff?
Really well, thank you. Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, well, I had a marvelous time again Saturday with my entire family. All my daughters and son-in-laws came, and we saw the program. And you know, it's a joy to see where these guys have gone since the days that I knew them. And I must give them a lot of credit for overcoming every drawback that was thrown in their way back in those days.
No, there weren't drawbacks, man. For full disclosure here, Mike Woleen, who was speaking with us on the phone, was our high school teacher, history teacher at Mount Horeb. Lee and I both graduated from Mount Horeb High. And Mike was also very involved with with lots of extracurricular activities, including theater at that time. And without people like Mike in the school systems, I'm telling you, it would be a lot tougher for those of us who have decided to make it a profession.
Absolutely.
Because they instill a grand enthusiasm, a passion for whatever that they pursue, and that included the arts and sports. Mike was also a cross-country coach and, took that program to great heights. So we owe a huge debt to the people of Mount Horeb for giving us a superb leg up and wonderful inspiration. So thank you, Mike, very much.
I have to echo that. That school district was an unofficial arts education for us. I mean, it was a fantastic place to go to school because, you found some of the athletes were also on stage and also in the singing groups, and there was a lot of crossover. There was no stigma attached to the people who were in the plays. It was a free-for-all, and really the whole town supported it and took a lot of pride in the performances and the representation at State Solo Ensemble and all of that. So, yeah, I can't say enough about how important the arts are in education. It's just a tragedy and makes me very sad to always see that being the very first thing cut from the budgetary lines.
Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you. Appreciate your call very much. And I think we may have lost him there.
Oh.
Well, maybe he was. Maybe he had a lump in his throat from all those nice comments from you too.
Yeah, he's an old softy.
Oh man, Lee Becker and Jeff Herbst, our guests from the American Folklore Theaters, as we talk with them about theater and about Guys and Does, which is the production that's playing. And frankly, we should give the times and so forth for Guys and Does.
Well, we're at the Overture Center right downtown performing in the Playhouse throughout the week. We're at 7:30 in the evening, and then on the weekend we're doing two shows Saturday and two shows Sunday. We're still doing two shows Sunday. Yeah, a lot of people are probably wondering about that, but yes, we're going to do those shows. Saturday it's at 4 and 7:30, and Sunday it's at 1 and 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
So DVR that game, and like many of us will.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Yes. It's a blessing and a curse.
Well, don't be surprised if you you see people there who may have...
trust me.
earbuds.
I know. I'm expecting a buzz to go through the house somewhere during the middle of the first act and the second show. We'll know probably by the end of intermission what the outcome was.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Well, I have some other questions for you guys, but I want to again remind folks, if you'd like to join in with your own questions or comments as we talk with Lee and Jeff, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Guys and Does, it's a comedy, but it's really probably a musical comedy, wouldn't you say, more?
Oh, it's a musical comedy, yeah. Pretty much everything American Folklore Theater does has a musical component to it. And in fact, the score for this show was written by Paul Libman, who's half of the Hudson Libman writing team, who have generated a lot of wonderful shows for us over the last several years. Cheeseheads, Main Traveled Roads, Cabin with a View, Musky Love. So we brought Paul in. This is the first time that Doc Heidi and I have collaborated with Paul as a composer. And he wrote, a really delightful score for this show.
And so the singing, songwriting, that come easy for you?
Oh, well, I mean, again, I can't take credit for the songwriting. The lyrics, yeah. Yes, Doc and I collaborate on the lyrics, and we've now written several shows together. We have a really fun writing process, which involves taking our notebooks out on hiking trails all over, whether we're on the West Coast, if I visit him when he's teaching out in the California North Bay area, or when we're back here, we just go out on the trail and write. We don't write long distance. We always need to be together because we like to bounce things off each other. And so far, so good. We're having a really good time doing it.
And
Larry, those who wrote Packer Fans from Outer Space together, if that gives you some idea about what kind of things they'd like to
exactly
delve into.
Yes.
And they also wrote Bob Dumke's Farm, and Lee collaborated with Doc on a rewrite of a show called Belgians in Heaven, a metaphysical polka musical.
Yep.
So, They have fantastical imaginations. The hardest job for me as an artist, I should say the easiest job for me, is having to just sort of weed out all the fantastical stuff and, you know, make sure we keep the gems.
Right.
Oh, man. Well, and that's kind of, is that what is unique about American Folklore Theater?
You mean that collaborative process and the way that things happen?
Yeah, well, and what's unique about the shows?
In terms of their subject matter and how they're created?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think so. You know, so much of what's made AFT successful, frankly, is that there have been a group of people that have been really devoted to it. And when you have that kind of devotion, then you form a vocabulary, and you're able to just kind of jump in and go without there having to always be a sort of stop and start. So we know one another so well that the expectation is already kind of taken care of. Now it's just a matter of getting in there and being creative and, you know, making something happen. Not that that's easy, mind you, but mm-hmm. It does make it easier if you at least come in with a common vocabulary and a real respect and admiration for one another, which is in spades for all of us that have worked together this many years.
Yeah, I'll also add that the devotion extends out to our audience and mm-hmm. the people that come to see our shows, you know, year in and year out, and generation in and generation out, people who are now bringing their children who were kids themselves when they first went. A lot of what happens in our shows is the way it is because of the audience we're performing for. We want, number one, for it to appeal to a wide age range. Mm-hmm. So even while Guys and Does, which has a little bit of earthy humor, as I mentioned, we've mm-hmm. got a deer who's in rut. And and so, you know, but we even handle that theme in a way that you can still bring your kids. They're not going to be scarred or corrupted mm-hmm. by anything that happens in our show. But there's still some good winks and nods, and the adults will get some of the jokes that'll fly over the kids' heads. So we handle that pretty deftly, I think, because we really do. I think there's a real power in something that can entertain grandma, the parents, and the kids all at the same time, which is our goal.
Yeah, that's an amazing ability to be able to do that. I can only imagine. I don't have the skill, even enough skill to think about how difficult it would be to do that. How did you guys get started with AFT?
Well, AFT grew out of the Heritage Ensemble, which Dave Peterson, who was a professor at Madison, began back in the 70s. Doc Heide, who was one of the co-founders of AFT, was heavily involved with that through the 70s and 80s, and he was joined by our good friend Fred Alley, also from Mount Hoare, Wisconsin, who was heavily involved with the ensemble in the 80s. And it was really Doc and Fred who determined that when Dave Peterson was done doing that they'd like to keep it going. And I was involved with the company some in the 80s as well, and Fred called me up when they decided to switch over and said, you know, we're gonna work with Paul Sills this coming summer in 1991, and I'm coming back for the full summer, and you want to come join us? And I got on the plane from New York and went to Wisconsin, and, you know, we all bonded around this this great, fun experience of having control over an artistic product, which is not something everybody in the arts gets the pleasure of being able to do, and the privilege, I should say, as well. And it really just kind of continued to evolve really organically from there. And Lee, you came on when, 94?
94, yeah. And in fact, yeah, I was living out in New York at that point, too. I had traveled out there with a bunch of my fellow improv buddies. We had done comedy sports here in Madison for five years. And one of the guys in our group, since he was in middle school, had a vision he was going to move to New York and be an actor. And he infected us all with the idea that we should take comedy sports out to New York City. And sure enough, we did. And things were rolling along out there. And then Fred, who was also a friend from Mount Horeb, saw me in a production of Romeo and Juliet when I was out in New York and said, oh, well, he does more than improv comedy. He can act. We should ask him to come back to work in Door County. So I had to move to New York to be discovered by a friend from my hometown, is what it amounts to.
Oh, that's a great, great story. And here you are you're playing chamomile tea drinking knitter.
Yes.
And you don't look like a or act like a chamomile tea drinking knitter.
Oh, well, heck. You know, and this is, I definitely don't want to cast aspersions on tea or knitting because, you know, I respect both of those things greatly. And I do drink a little chamomile tea now and again, I'll confess. But yeah, the thing about Dwayne is that he's kind of just an awkward guy. He just, you know, managed in this, you know, growing up in a small town, you'd see this happen. Somehow somebody would just get a black mark and then suddenly they're on the outs and everyone else is on the inside. And, you know, Dwayne's a lovable guy. He's probably a little annoying to the people who don't really understand him. And I did have to learn to knit. People are asking me sometimes. I actually am doing a very basic stitch. I can't actually finish a project. I can just knit. That's all I can do, just the one stitch.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so you've enjoyed that part.
It's been great fun. I mean, getting to perform a role that you helped, that you wrote and helped originate. Although I will also say that I don't know how many more years I'm going to be able to play Dwayne because I'm getting a little long in the tooth form already. People say, oh, but you're so youthful on stage. So I'll take that as a compliment. But someday I'll have the great pleasure of watching someone else play Dwayne. And that will also be that's incredibly gratifying as a writer.
I'm wondering now. Here, your production, Guys and Does, has played in Door County and Green Bay, and now it's played in Madison. Mm-hmm. Do you get a different or what audience reaction is different from here versus there?
Certain individual lines maybe land a little differently with different crowds. Our Texas hunter shows up and he mentions that he's got this, you know, his family's in the arms business and he's got this really sort of inappropriate gun that he brings. It's not really a hunting weapon. It's more of sort of like an urban assault rifle, but that's what he wants to hunt with because it really, really does damage. And he mentions that he got this as a gift from his father when he got out of Harvard Business School. It's a toss off little joke that if you know what we're referencing, you'll get a laugh. The show doesn't hinge on the audience getting that particular joke, and a lot of our crowds didn't really respond much to that. I've noticed that line particularly in Madison getting a bigger reaction, for instance, just because I think maybe the political climate in Madison is a little different than it is in northeastern Wisconsin, for instance. So that's one small thing, but by and large, the crowds here have been, you know, all the laughs we're hoping for and expecting to get are there. They've been really enthusiastic. More than one crowd has stood up at the end, not to leave, but to give us a standing ovation. there's some differences, but there's also it feels very familiar and friendly out there, just like the crowd that we had up in Door County.
And what's so this is playing through
Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And then you're on your way to Beaver Dam?
Yeah.
The following weekend for two shows, which are Friday and Saturday, Jeff. Is that right?
folkloretheater.com.
That's right.
Today, right now, buy your tickets.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the place to go, folkloretheater.com.
I know for sure you can link to the Overture Center box office from our website.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And there's still shows yet, not only on the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Starting tonight, the rest of the week, tonight through Sunday.
Yeah, and, tonight, Tuesday, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And the time for the evening shows?
7:30 on Tuesday through Friday, and then two shows Saturday, 4 and 7:30, and two shows Sunday, 1 and 4:30.
Well, this has been great fun.
It's always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Appreciate it very much having you with us today. Lee Becker, co-writer and actor who plays the part of Dwayne in the comedy musical comedy Guys and Does. Jeff Herbst, American Folklore Theater's artistic director and director of Guys and Does. Very, very funny. And I think they're really funny for Wisconsin folks in particular, but I think that comedy and the thoughts behind it go well beyond the borders of this state. I'm very sure of that. We'll have them back, and we'll do this again. We didn't even have a chance to talk about what's coming up next for these guys, so maybe we'll do that the next time we visit with them. Just to take a look ahead to tomorrow, Phil Pelletieri, our UW Extension entomologist, joins us, and he'll be answering all of your questions tomorrow here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.